Petco brings in bloodhounds to track the dog who ran away during a grooming appointment.
And there were many people that were right there that saw it happen, you know? Everybody looked confused and shocked as to why a dog was running out of the grooming department and out of the door.
It's November 20th. This is the LA Local, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm Alex Silverman. Also coming up today, a strange episode in a local ER.
This is one of the stranger calls that we would receive. This isn't in my 20 years in law enforcement. I can't think of a time that this has happened.
And a cold murder case is solved 45 years later in the Inland Empire.
They did a polygraph in 1979 and basically, you know, he passed.
It's all coming up. But first, this. Hey, if you're listening to this in an article on KNXnews.com, go right now to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, search for the LA Local, hit follow, and you'll get an update every weekday afternoon on everything you need to know that's happening in Southern California, and the morning and evening updates, too, from our colleagues at KNX News. Told you last week about this family from Norwalk who went to Petco to have their dog groomed, only to get a call that the dog had somehow escaped from the store. Well, there have been some developments in that case. They think they could be a step closer to finding the dog. Natalie Tavidian talked again with the dog's owner, Aubrey.
The latest is that Petco did let us look at the footage, just me and my mom, you know. But they did show me the footage, and what they said was true. She was able to slip out of the leash that was put on her, which it wasn't that blue lead that they usually use for dogs in the grooming department, which was against policy, and that is on the groomer's, you know, that's the groomer's fault. And she was able to slip out of or back out of the leash that she was put in, and she ran out of the store. And there were many people that were right there that saw it happen, you know. Everybody looked confused and shocked as to why a dog was running out of the grooming department and out of the door.
And Aubrey tells me that it was very difficult to watch that video. It's been almost a week, but she says she and her family, they're not losing hope. They had a tip today from somebody who says they spotted her dog in the Signal Hill area, but no luck finding her there. Aubrey also tells me that Petco is flying out dog trackers this weekend, and this includes bloodhounds. That's starting this weekend.
We have a photo of the dog, Betty Lou, on our website, knxnews.com. Also learning more about the missing woman from Maui we told you about the other day. The family is now confirming that Hana Kobayashi talked with an American Airlines ticketing agent trying to rebook a flight that she missed from LAX to New York last Monday, November 11th. Her aunt, Lori Pigeon, says she then got on a metro train at LAX with someone the family doesn't know and appears in video they've seen to be distraught. They got weird texts from her along the way, and they haven't heard from her since.
None of her social media platforms are active. Her phone has not turned on again. We are, again, extremely concerned and alarmed.
We've heard that the FBI is now on the case along with LAPD. She says a lot of people have reached out to the family to try and help.
Her last known location is in around the Crypto Stadium. So at 3 p.m. tomorrow, we'll be holding, basically a rally right before the Lakers game and start handing out flyers to people.
That's 3 p.m. on Thursday. Her aunt says Hannah has a dark green backpack, clear glasses, black and white shoes, black sweatshirt with a blue emblem, tie-dye pants, pretty distinctive clothing. And you should call the LAPD if you have seen her, if you think you have. Cold case murder from 45 years ago, 1979, in Riverside County, is now solved. This is the case of 17-year-old Esther Gonzalez, who was attacked and murdered while she was walking from her parents' house in Beaumont to her sister's house in Banning. Her body was found a day later off Highway 243. Jason Corey is a cold case investigator for the Riverside County DA's office and Sheriff's Department. He says the suspect in the case, Randy Williamson, was let go.
They did a polygraph in 1979, and basically, you know, he passed. And so, you know, we're talking 1979, you know, polygraph. And so, you know, they kind of cleared him from there.
If you've seen any true crime, you know that if you're enough of a sociopath, you can pass a polygraph, and that may be what happened. As forensic genealogy developed, they reopened the case and got a match between Williamson's DNA and what was found at the crime scene. Williamson is dead. 10 years ago in Florida, he died. Corey says Esther's family is relieved that the mystery's finally been solved, even though he can't actually be held accountable. Strange story in Upland. Guy walked into an ER and ended up stuck inside the ceiling.
Yeah, this is a weird one, even for seasoned police officers.
Yeah, it is very, very strange.
Sergeant Jacob Kirk is with the Upland Police Department. It happened this week at San Antonio Medical Center. A man came in about 9:30 Monday evening, asked to use the bathroom, went in, never came out. Hospital staff called police. They found the ceiling tiles pulled out.
There was a large HVAC system that was right above the ceiling tiles they were looking at. One of our officers fashioned like a thing with his baton and like taped his body-worn camera to it and was able to stick it up on the side and see the mail, and he was actually stuck up there between like a steel beam and then that HVAC system.
They had to call out the fire department. They cut into the ceiling, pulled the guy out. So why'd he go up there?
No, he didn't say. He didn't provide a statement to our officers.
He was arrested, however, for felony vandalism because they say he did about $5,000 worth of damage.
It's Emily Valdez on the case. Now to Craig Figner at City Hall. And you know, it was interesting this week. I finally got a confirmed result that showed California voters rejected a statewide minimum wage hike for the first time. Would have brought it up to $18 an hour. And today, there was a setback in raising the minimum wage for hospitality workers. They call it the Olympics minimum wage because it applied to a lot of those workers. Craig Figner is at the City Hall Bureau reporting on this.
If the city of Los Angeles were to enact this new local law mandating that hotel workers at large hotels get $25 an hour starting early next year, then $30 an hour by the year 2028, there are questions about what it would cost the city of Los Angeles, say in tax revenue. What would it cost consumers? Would prices go up? And if so, by how much? Los Angeles hired an economist to study this and then give answers. But when council members quizzed him during this council meeting, well, the answers were enormously vague. Here is Councilmember Paul Krikorian trying to get to the bottom line of the good, the bad for Los Angeles that led to kind of a breakdown of the meeting.
I would like to know what the estimated impacts on all city revenue streams are if this proposal moves forward. It's like question number one.
We have a total net fiscal impact to be positive.
But that's not helpful to me at all. We prepare budgets based on actual numbers, and we think it's going to be positive is not a useful answer.
The list of unanswered questions connected to the financial consequences of enacting this law, it was so long that nothing happened at council. No vote. Could come back to council if there are better answers in middle December.
To Orange County now, where Congresswoman Michelle Steele is in a really, really tight race and might lose her seat as Derek Tran, her Democratic challenger, is taken over by just a couple hundred votes now. And his lead has been increasing very slightly over the past few days. Meanwhile, Orange County supervisors are looking into where relief money was allocated for COVID while Michelle Steele was a supervisor. Karen Adams has more on that part of the story.
The scrutiny comes after former Orange County Supervisor Andrew Doe pleaded guilty to bribery and the misuse of COVID relief money. Now a supervisor wants an internal audit of Representative Michelle Steele, who, while a supervisor, awarded $1.2 million in money to feed the elderly during the pandemic to the company that printed her campaign mailers in 2020. Supervisor Vicente Sarmiento says the company is not in the food industry. He and other supervisors also want to hire an outside independent investigator to review how they go about the people's business. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Got this from Michelle Steele's campaign. Quote, politicians seeking headlines should quit lying to their constituents. The company in question is DTN, a logistics and event management company, which was given a contract to manage a meals program. A separate audit was completed and approved by the county. The campaign goes on to say if the county wishes to conduct a further audit, the congresswoman welcomes it. Workers at the Port of L.A. are busy as ever, busier than ever, really, generally seen as a sign of a healthy local and national economy. More than 905,000 containers went in and out last month. That's up 25% over the same time last year. Fourth straight month the port handled more than 900,000 containers. The increase in traffic is due in part to the fears over another East Coast port strike and the thinking that companies are diverting their cargo here. Concern now, though, that the tariffs proposed by Donald Trump on Chinese-made goods could have a negative impact on the ports of L.A. and Long Beach. We talk with Mary Lovely with the Peterson Institute of International Economics. Says activity at the ports could decrease if the tariffs go into effect. Seems pretty logical.
Our imports will be taxed. Consumers will turn toward domestic goods or services alternatives. Our exports will be hurt because we're going to see higher prices on the things that our producers use to produce in the United States.
Not just the ports. Trump has also said he'd impose tariffs on Mexican-made goods, which would impact economic activity along the border. And that is the LA Local for the 20th of November, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. See the inventory, all 12 dealerships, at laCarGuy.com. 97.1 FM, ask your smart speaker to play KNX News. Odyssey app, search for KNX News, and follow the LA Local on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows, and we've got the show every weekday afternoon. Back tomorrow, just like that, I'm Alex Silverman. See ya.